Sacking Sackett? Biden moves to protect wetlands. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
The outlook for the Colorado River could be better than previously thought, even as the region becomes warmer.
Researchers from the University of Colorado Boulder say that there will likely be more abundant precipitation in the next 25 years than there was in the past two decades.
Climate models are forecasting a 70% chance of increased precipitation, which they found could partially offset further declines to flows from rising temperatures. The team added that the current mega drought, which began 23 years ago, resulted from low precipitation.
The river is fed mostly by snowfall in the mountains of Colorado and Wyoming, and that precipitation is critical to the entire seven-state system.
In other developments, the Colorado River Indian Tribes, which holds the most senior right on the Colorado River in Arizona, signed an agreement with the federal government and the state of Arizona, allowing it to lease and store water off the reservation, which it hadn't been permitted to do before.
According to Inside Climate News, with the revenue, the tribe will be able to update agricultural systems, build infrastructure, and provide services to tribal members.
The federal government is moving from regulation to restoration to protect wetlands.
A ruling last year by the Supreme Court in the Sackett case shattered federal programs meant to keep marshes thriving under the Clean Water Act. But now the Biden administration has announced a goal to protect and restore 8 million acres of wetlands over the next 6 years.
The administration also seeks to protect 100,000 miles of rivers and streams by removing dams and restoring stream banks.
Biden is asking that states, tribes, and cities develop conservation and restoration policies. 8 tribes, 20 local governments, and 10 states, including Colorado, California, and Oregon, have already signed.
The goals can be reached by incentives paid to farmers, ranchers, and other landowners to restore and conserve wetlands.
Over 60% of wetlands are no longer protected under the Clean Water Act, despite guarding against flooding and keeping pollutants out of rivers and streams.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service recently released a report showing that the lower 48 states have lost more than half their wetlands since about 1870, and the rate of loss increased by 50% in the 10 years ending 2019.
Biodiversity is the variety of all living things on Earth, from fungi and bacteria to entire ecosystems like forests or coral reefs. This web of life supports us all with clean water, food, and livelihoods.
Biodiversity is in crisis from human activities, but according to a new study, when efforts are made to protect nature, it works very well.
A team of international scientists analyzed hundreds of conservation interventions over the last century and found that actions such as establishing protected areas, eradicating invasive species, reducing habitat loss, and restoring ecosystems improved biodiversity or halted its decline 2/3 of the time compared to doing nothing at all.
In cases where conservation was not successful, it provided a learning opportunity to refine an approach. To that end, they found that recent efforts tended to have better outcomes, implying interventions are getting more effective over time.
They also say where conservation may not have helped a target species, it inadvertently benefited others.
More than half of the world's economies depend on nature, which countries are acknowledging. At the recent UN Convention on Biological Diversity, governments adopted new targets to halt and reverse biodiversity loss. This study shows that conservation efforts are indeed working, and that investments in the natural world will pay off.
And finally, there are several vines that grow in tropical forests of Southeast Asia that are used in traditional medicine to heal wounds because of their antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, and antifungal properties. Those benefits are no secret to orangutans, according to a new study.
Recently, biologists from the Max Planck Institute observed a Sumatran orangutan named Rakus applying leaves to a facial wound he sustained in a brawl with another male.
3 days after his injury, Rakus selectively tore leaves from a woody vine called yellow root, chewed on them, and then applied the resulting juice onto the wound for several minutes. After that, he covered his injury with the chewed leaves like a Band-Aid.
The researchers say the wound not only avoided getting infected, but was also gone within 5 days. They add that Rakus knew to rest to allow the healing properties of the plant to act and help him recuperate.
The behavior did not seem random. Rakus treated only his face with the plant juice and no other body parts, and repeated the procedure several times. Also, orangutans don't typically eat that type of vine.
Ingesting plants to treat an infection or disease is not unheard of in the animal kingdom. For example, chimpanzees have been seen self-medicating by chewing a plant to treat worm infection. But this is the first time a great ape species has been seen using a plant as first aid.
Support for This Week in Water comes from GC Green, a woman and veteran-owned renewable energy project developer serving tribal and disadvantaged communities. Learn more at gcgreen.com.